a different world. What sort of, let's make this a little bit interactive today. Shout some things out. What sort of places have you been in where it's felt like a different world? Kuwait, yes, really good, yeah. At work. You've never heard of. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that can be true as well. Any others? School? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was thinking when you were speaking about when I was in a doing jury service in a court, you get really into that world just in the same sort of way, and you start identifying with the people around and other things. Nightclub, I haven't been one of those for about 30 years, but and perhaps ice landscapes. We've been to lots of landscapes that were just ice. That felt like a different world as well. But I was thinking about the UK about 50 years ago. Maybe that felt like a different world. If people from then came to us now, maybe they would think we were in a different world. Yes. Yes. No, no, absolutely. Perfect. So some of the things that they might see that's different, that's what I was going to talk about. Maybe family is different. It's all a bit more spread out. A lot of us know that, don't we, that our families are spread out. There used to be more focus on extended families, and they were bigger. And church as well is very different. Maybe 50 years ago, more people would go off to their local churches and maybe go to two or more services a day. It was more formal. People kept Sabbaths more, didn't they? Sundays were more special. And I just thought, what is it about now that's different? What's the contemporary cultural landscape, to use a phrase like? What's it like now? What are some of the things that would characterise how we live now? Some of the isms, can anybody think of any of those? Loss of community, yep. Internet.
Respect.
Respect, yep. Cynicism, that's a good one. I thought of a few. There's secularism, that's the way that religions become separated from society. Declining participation in church. People not appreciating things, yeah. It's very pluralistic, that's another word. Lots of different forms of religion, that's another word that comes up. Individualistic, we know that one as well. And we're all very programmed to be very rational, to think scientifically as well. And we tend to have shoved out anything that's not about reasoning things out. And that comes from the Enlightenment, which was when people thought that in order to flourish, humanity needed to rid itself of God and religion and superstition, anything that worked against reason. So what are the things? There's a bit of a distrust of authority, especially religion. Political correctness is another one. Yeah, we've been going into, I've gone to a couple of the schools locally, and we go and do a lunchtime club, and they're so afraid of us talking about anything to do with Christianity. They're so on it that we mustn't, and mustn't share faith or talk about certain things for fear of offending people and that sort of thing. So that happens. A lot of people would say they're spiritual these days, but not religious. And people tend to want to keep any religious talk out of out of any mainstream debates, out of the public public things, public organisations, public debates, and that sort of thing. And probably it's no longer, we don't have an automatic privilege. If you think about clergy, maybe 50 years ago, people respected them, and they were given the right to speak into situations. So there's a little bit of a loss of credibility in faith, in religion, and it's been pushed to the edges. People don't want religious things brought in often. So we could say there's been an erosion of belief. People have tried to do away with God. I like one phrase I saw. People have lost the vertical perspective, the thing about looking up and talking and seeing God, and they're more interested in the horizontal things, just what's going on. Recently, though, I think there has been an upsurgence in interest in the sacred. Apparently, sacred music on Spotify and the music internet things that you can connect with have had an upsurge of people listening to that sort of thing. And there's an interest in traditional sacred services as well. And lots of pockets of churches doing really well, a resurgence of pilgrimage, that's another one, yeah, it's great. So there's the two things going on at once, the bit of a resurgence and all the cynicism and secularism that we have just identified. So, it helped to switch it on. There we go. So in that, I wanted to just think about what our relationship with the world is, what the Bible says about it. And what it says is that we are in and not of the world. So we're living here in the world, aren't we? But the Bible says we're not to be of the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. So there's meant to be that little bit of distinctness for any of us who are Christians. And it also says we are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Now, a citizen is somebody who legally belongs to a country. So we've got the rights and protection of that country. And we adopt the culture and practices of that place where we live. Has anybody come across anybody doing one of these citizenship tests that maybe come from a different country? Yeah. Has anybody done them themselves? No. But I know somebody who's just done one, and the questions they have to answer to actually pass the test are outrageous. If you look at it, the really detailed historical facts, geographical facts, and things that I didn't know, but it's quite hard. But back to us in the kingdom, every person is born into the kingdom of this world, which Satan rules. When we're born into the world, that is the kingdom that we're coming into. So we grow up adopting the practices and the values that he instigates, the enemy instigates. So what Satan does is he enslaves his citizens, and we start off blindly following, and we remain captives to sin until we know we're freed by Jesus. He's freed us from this kingdom. And when we're born again, we're born again into the kingdom of heaven. So we switch kingdoms. We go out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I'll put that back again. So as citizens of heaven, we are new creations. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and we start being transformed into Christ's likeness, don't we? And our focus when we're born again is on eternal things, heavenly things. And as we walk through earth, we store up treasures in heaven. We want to do things and be the person that is a kingdom, a citizen of heaven. And we consider ourselves God's, Jesus' people, to be temporarily here on earth until our Father sends for us and we go home. So we live for a short time in our physical bodies, and we can think about this bright future that we've got when we go to our real home. So that's how it is for us as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We also know we are seated in heavenly realms. It says that in Ephesians. So that's where we are as citizens of heaven. We are seated in heavenly realms. That's a reality for our day-to-day living. Jesus is our King, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. We're first and foremost citizens of heaven. And we're like sojourners in the world. We don't use that word much now, do we? We're just visiting, or exiles in the world. And it's true that if you're a Christian, you're not a citizen of this world trying to get to heaven. It's the other way around. You're a citizen of heaven making your way through the world. And we could also say we are resident aliens. That's another way of putting it. So, why connect with the world? We're citizens of heaven. Why connect with the world? Well, that's to do with the mission of God. And because we are in God, our mission. Mission flows from the heart of God. And what he wants to do is to bring all people to himself and bring his kingdom transformation into our fallen world, into the world of Satan. So we're told to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey Jesus. So we're sent to go, sent to people. So that's why we're going with the world. That's what God wants to do. And because we're in him, we do it as part of his plan for us too. So just thinking now of how the Bible says to connect with the world. How we do that. Well, to start off with, we need to know that we are children of God. We live as his children in the world. It's his world and we are his children. And that can make us walk really tall. We're meant to be here as his. And it's really important in our hearts to know that we are a child of God. It also says we're the salt of the earth. And salt influences, it flavours, it affects the things around it. And that's something that the Bible says we are. We don't have to try to be that. We are salt and we are light. In this kingdom of darkness, we are the ones that are light because we're in Jesus. So we just are those things. We, by virtue of the fact that we're in Christ, as we walk around, we are connecting with the world just because we are his. But it also says we are ambassadors. Ambassadors. And that's the thing I just want to focus on this morning. It's who we are, and it's a role that we do as well. So, just another bit of interaction. What are ambassadors like? They go over to different countries, don't they, and represent a nation. Any suggestions? What are they like? What qualities do you think you need to be an ambassador?
Respectful.
Respectful. Diplomatic. That's a good one. Wise. Prudent. Another good word. Yes, they're sent, and they're sent with that authority. Any others? They're chosen carefully. They're skilled at representing the country they're from, so they know all about the country. And they are careful not to offend. They're often humble and gracious as they deal with people in another land. And what do they do? What do they do? What?
They represent the government where they come from.
Yep. Represent a government or a leader or a land who isn't present. So they do that very intentionally. They're sent, often with a task. And what else? They are discreet.
They look after their own, people from their own.
Yeah, they look after their own. Other things, they speak out on behalf of the king or president. And sometimes they've got to persuade or negotiate, don't they? They live as a citizen of the place they're representing. We've just talked about that. They're very intentional about what they're doing. They're always on call. And we could say they're incarnational as well. They go and live in that place, that means. They take themselves and live there in another culture. So an ambassador is a respected official acting as a nation's representative, sent to a foreign land to reflect the official position of the sovereign body that gave them authority, mentioned authority. So Paul, in the Bible, referred to himself, just go back one, as a prisoner in an ambassador in chains. He was a great ambassador and said, we should all be ambassadors. And the challenge, I think, is for us to live as ambassadors. So some of the things we mentioned an ambassador does. Are we ready? Are we going as one representing Christ? Are we ready to speak and show and explain? Yes, great. So just as the earthly ambassador represents and communicates the desire and will of a head of state, we are sent to communicate the will and desire of Jesus to others. And a couple of other verses, it says we are approved by God. Do you feel and do you know that you are approved by God? Maybe we think we're not good enough to be an ambassador, but we are approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. So as we go through the world, we're representing this other kingdom. It's our responsibility to reflect the official position of heaven, reflect the king's stance and communicate what he wishes. A couple of other things. We imitate Christ. An ambassador has to reflect his country. So we are encouraged to follow Paul's example, follow Jesus' example, and imitate Christ. And other verses that support that or back that up, it says we need to die to ourselves and that no one can serve two masters. And our lives cease to be our own. So a question to ask is, who do I represent as I'm walking about? Is it me or is it him? Do we have that in our minds as we're engaging with people, as we're going into different situations? Are we living for ourselves or for his interests? As an ambassador, we're also an example. Apart from doing anything, it's how we are. If you think of the ambassadors that go to different lands, they're very careful to act, and people see them as an ambassador. Somebody said an ambassador is not simply an agent, he is also a spectacle. So we know that our actions speak volumes. We can speak things out, but it's also our life that's important. The decisions we make, what we do, what we don't do, and that maybe speaks the most to people that we come across. People look at us and know we're Christians, so we can either be a good example or a bad example. We are an example of a Christian to the world, so what will they be thinking as they see us? We're also given power to live as ambassadors. God works in us to act, to fulfill his purposes. When Paul talked about this, he was generally talking about what is called the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, it's about us helping people to be reconciled to God. So as we go about, maybe questions to ask are, how can I best represent the King in this place, in this situation, in this time, with this particular person? How can I best do that? If we have that in our minds, there's all sorts of things can come through us. We can give prophetic words. We can explain the gospel. We can see where people are at and respond accordingly. We can find, in other words, a diplomatic way of telling everybody what Jesus has done. It says, but all things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And another thing is, it's an urgent message. So when an ambassador goes out, it's for that moment. And God does send us out every day for that moment to those people that we're amongst. It's an urgent message. So we seek to persuade people, not to pressurise them at all, but to speak and persuade about the truth of the gospel. It's quite a responsibility. It's urgent. God is making his appeal through us. And the whole thing is about God's love. His motive is love. Our motive is love. The message is love. And the message is, God loves you and welcomes you with open arms. Because Jesus died for you, you can be a friend of God. You can approach him boldly and with confidence whenever you want. The message is all about reconciliation, restored friendship with God and with others. So just to finish, who is God sending us to as ambassadors? Well, our families, our communities. And perhaps it's time for the church to start going into the public places as well, to have relevant conversations and dialogue with the people out there. Let me just pray to finish. Lord, we feel a bit sad at times at how the world is that we find ourselves in. And Lord, we just bring ourselves to you today. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he has made a way for us to be reconciled with God. And Lord, we want to be those who live as citizens of heaven increasingly, that we have that vertical dimension in our lives, not just a horizontal one. We're citizens of heaven, and we want to represent you faithfully. Lord, thank you that we are children of God, and I pray that you would help us to be good ambassadors in the world today. Help us to connect with the world in the best way. Help us to be intentional, help us to take on the responsibilities you give us. And we thank you so much for your love for us. that we are reconciled to you and long for others to know the same thing. Amen.